You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money Markets podcast for this Tuesday, the 23rd of December, 2025, on a good day for the share market. The S&P ASX 200 up 1.1% to 8,795. That is a six-week high. All 11 sectors on the index finishing higher. The best-performing listed property, that's as Goodman Group, rose around about 8% after it signed a deal to build some data centres in Germany. DroneShield performing quite well today, up 9% on the ASX 200. Austal Limited climbing about 6.3% today. The worst performers included Eagers Automotive, down by 2.7%, EVT Limited off by 1.8%. And for more on the day's market action, I spoke with Jamie Hanna from Van Eck. So Jamie, it would appear Santa is well and truly riding the share market. What's behind the gains lately and what's investor sentiment like?
Look, the investor sentiment has generally been positive for most of the year. And I feel what's actually going on is it's a bit of a continuation of what we've seen earlier in the year. The artificial intelligence trade that's been playing out in the US, that's, you know, even though their lofty valuations are at the moment, it's still, you know, has some legs left. So a lot of it, this is largely coming out of the US and it's having a flow-on effect to Australia. So realistically, we're just riding on the coattails of the US market success.
Okay, what are investors buying at the moment as we head to the end of the year?
Look, ETFs have certainly been one of the key things that investors have been looking at. They've had another stellar year of inflows in Australia. And look, most of the flows have been a mix of international shares, which is giving investors exposure to shares not available on the ASX, as well as some fixed income ETFs. And they're holding bonds, which is harder for an investor to get access to unless you're an institution or a large size. So these types of international equity ETFs and fixed income ETFs have been extremely popular this year and has pushed the ETF market over $320 billion. And it's allowing investors more choices in how they invest their money at comparatively lower fees.
Okay. You mentioned the word bonds there. Can't talk bonds without talking interest rates. To what extent is the market increasingly confident now there'll be further interest rate cuts in the US and when?
Look, yeah, the market is pricing in two US interest rate cuts by the end of next year, with an indication that the first cut will probably be in the second quarter. However, you only have to look at some of the comments coming out of some of the Fed governors at the moment, and we're seeing some really big differences in their views. So there'll be a new Fed chair early next year, and it's potentially likely that the view of the new Fed chair will be more aligned with the White House, which is for lower rates. Now, the data should drive the outcomes, but there's still a risk of inflation coming through in the US on the back of tariffs. So there's a lot to watch out for next year. The market is pricing into, but data could indicate that the chance of a rate cut might lower as the year goes on.
Still, how is this translating, the potential for lower US interest rates in the US, translating to things like currencies and commodities? Because I note we've been talking about it for the past few weeks and more so yesterday again, gold and silver hitting record highs.
Yeah, look, the US dollar has been weaker against most major currencies this year. And it's the result of cutting rates while much of the Western world is close to raising rates. The US debt is rising, as everyone's kind of talking about, and there's many people are concerned by that. There's also been some pushback from the tariffs imposed by the US. So as a result, some investors and governments included are starting to find alternative risk-free assets instead of using US dollars or US treasuries. So hence, there's been a bit of selling of USD, and that's pushed the US dollar currency lower. But there's also been a big move to buying precious metals as an alternative. Things like gold, silver, platinum, palladium. So they've really had strong years.
So when you talk about gold, it's often considered what many people call the safe haven. Can you explain that? But is its record run related to that safe haven status where there is economic uncertainty, or are there other factors like you mentioned, that big one, the US dollar?
Look, gold is a safe haven as it's not really controlled by a country. It doesn't have any debt like you would if you bought a bond. It's not linked to a company's profits or cash flows, and it does have some utilities. So while the gold price can move around and has done extremely well this year, it's still a safe form of investment. Now, the record that it's hit this year is probably down to a few factors. We've already discussed some of the US factors, But geopolitics is having a big play on this. And there's a lot of tensions that are playing out, and not just in regards to geopolitics and the wars and that going around the world, but the tariffs. And that's then changing the world trading regime and this increasing trade frictions. So all of these factors are combining to increase the demand for gold as a safe haven for both governments and investors. And hence, it's really pushing up the price of gold.
Okay, so we've been talking about US interest rates. What about here in Australia? The RBA released its December board meeting minutes today. Are there any indications in there that we'll indeed get an interest rate rise next year, which appears to be what the market is starting to price in?
Yeah, the minutes, I think, have clearly indicated that the RBA is discussing circumstances that might result in a rate rise next year. Now, it'll be linked to economic data that is released, but the risk is certainly for an increase in rates next year. We're certainly not predicting any further cuts. So the market itself is pricing in around the first rate cut in the middle of next year. So we'll need to wait and see, but it doesn't look good for those holding a mortgage next year.
Okay, so finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors in 2026?
Look, the market has had another good year, and the US has certainly been the primary driver of this momentum. And at this point, while there are concerns about some of the tech and the AI valuations, we still think you need to be selectively positive and remain invested in the market. But I think right now it is really key to have a well-diversified portfolio and not have too many eggs in one basket.
It's Jamie Hanna there from VanEck, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.